singing today. But guess what? We got her singing here this evening.
Yeah.
A television celebrity.
Yeah, right.
I like it. And now it's time for us to hear the thoughts for a young man that... Now, I hope every one of you enjoy this, because I've had to twist his arms. How long have I known you? Probably 25 years. Oh, more than that.
Since 86.
Since 86 I've known him. And I have been trying to get his mouth open. So that he would give us some of his thoughts. No. Like you. Yeah. And I have been successful.
Yeah.
Yay.
And again, I mean, I paid a lot of money to get to be successful here. This was at least $10,000 I had to pay him to get him to come up here today.
Yeah.
Well, what do you laugh about that?
$10,000.
$10,000.
Yeah, that's a pretty price.
So I hope you all enjoy this. Truly, he is one of my favorite people in all the world. He's just an angel on this earth. And that's our Stan.
Yay!
Thank you, Millie. I'll pay you later for that introduction. It's great. Good evening, everyone. Welcome. I don't know what to say after that. I have known Millie a long time, and... took me a few years. I was always quiet and shy in class, and then spirit hit me, I guess, and I started sharing my thoughts, and I've spoken 3 or 4 times, and I hope that you got to hear some of those. If you didn't, well, maybe I'll repeat them one time.
You threw that at me.
I did. happy Valentine's Day. I'm honored all of you came tonight, you know, when you could have had a date or had dinner or whatever. So thank you for coming. Barbara and I always share something in common, because one of my favorite verses in the Bible, as it is hers, is always 1 Corinthians, the chapter 13. And it talks about, if I had the gifts of being able to speak in other languages without learning them and could speak in every language there is in all of heaven and earth, but I didn't love others, I would only be making noise. If I had the gift of prophecy and knew all about what was going to happen in the future and knew everything about everything, but I didn't love others, what good would it do? Even if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, I would still be worth nothing at all without love. If I gave everything I had to the poor and I were burned alive for preaching the gospel but didn't love others, it would have no value to me or others. Love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never naughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly ever notice when others do wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. If you love someone, you are loyal to them no matter what the cost. You will always believe in them, always expect the best of them, and always stand your ground in defending them. And then it goes on, it is like when I was a child and spoke of thoughts and responded as a child, but when I became a man, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood. And now I've put away all the childish things. In the same way, we can see and understand only a little bit about God. There are 3 things that remain. It's always faith, hope, and love. And the greatest gift is always love. What is it that we're always seeking in this life? It's to love or to be loved. It's so simple. Everything comes down to the one thing. It's not that hard, but it's hard for many of us. This is something I fought for many years. I love a lot of people, but felt unworthy for a long, long time. I didn't think I was good enough to receive love. I always thought others had it before me, you know, and I've learned that I am deserving. And I'm the first one to give of anything, but I'm learning to receive, not only in love, but in everything else. So what exactly is love? Does anyone know what love is? I think we've all experienced a portion of it, some of us. According to Wikipedia, love is used in over 365 verses in the Bible. Did you know that? I didn't. I was surprised at that. I didn't look at all of them, but I know there's a few. And but it's described as a feeling, emotions, and it's a deep feeling. It's how we look at someone or something, and we suddenly have emotions about really liking that person or that thing. Have you ever wondered how often you use the word love? We use it a lot. I love that food. I love going there. Oh, gosh, I love that car. Oh, I just love her. I love the clothes you're wearing. I love the way you play the piano. We can go on and on and on. It can be a very positive thing. But also it depends on what you're worshiping and what you're wanting. It can also hurt. Unrequited love is really hard. I've shared my experiences in that, loving someone that didn't love you back. That hurts, you know. And sometimes you don't know that for a long, long, long time. It's hard. Examples of, you know, talk about the football and all that. Sometimes we put more power into other things or other people. We give our power away. Love is bold. It's beautiful. It's one of the greatest feelings in the world. Don't you agree? Yeah. I know I do when I find something I love. Or I love my friends, and I love when they're in love or they have someone. Sometimes I don't get to see them as much because they're busy with their new love, but that's fine. But, you know, it's also very difficult. It's ups and downs. It's mountains. It can be hurtful. It can be short-lived. And sometimes it's not always for the rest of your life, you know. But I've learned from this church and everything in my life is to experience the moment that you're in and enjoy the moment that you're in. I know I've been in love or lust, depending what you call it, two or three or four times in my life, because sometimes you think you love that person or you really like them, and really you just like certain things about them, or you only want to be with them, but they don't feel that way at all. Or you enjoy the romantic side of them, you know, and that's about all that it is. It's nothing more. But, you know, who's counting? I know I've had my share. There's a lot of types of love. What type of love do you guys share? You know, there's money's the big one. We see money everywhere. How many people worship and love money? You want money. We need money. There's nothing wrong with money, but it's what you do with it. We like food, we like people, cars, clothes. Sometimes it gets into drugs and alcohol, and we tend to love that because we forget who we are. The basis comes down to we are love, and we're a product of God, and God loves us. So how can we forget? How do we get into some of these patterns? What's called the human experience? It's called life, and that happens. One of the greatest gifts that I've learned and I've observed with a lot of people in this church, Millie for one, but other, there's no greater love than the love that people tell me that a mother has for her child. They always say, and I've heard it from a few fathers, but they never knew they had that love inside of them until they put the baby in their arms. And they didn't know they could love like that. They didn't know it was capable. They've heard about it. They've talked about it. I haven't experienced it. I've held babies, but they weren't mine. And I love the little babies. So I just think it would be a wonderful experience. So any of the mothers there, if you agree with me, let me know. That's great. I think it is. It is true. And then families. Some of us, we pick families that are very loving, and they support us in all ways. Sometimes we pick families that are not loving. It's all a lesson in love and how we look at it and what we want to do with it. You know, it's hard sometimes we don't pick a loving family. And we can't always blame the family, because Millie has taught us, too, that, you know, we pick our lessons, and these are the lessons that you need to grow with. The other side of love, which I think is interesting, is nature has showed me a lot of love through animals. How many of our furry little friends, dogs and cats, I've had both. I have a cat now. She's about 14, I would say. And I've had many, many cats in my life. But I've never had one quite like this. She's a Maine Coon, and she's fine. She's getting older. But I've never had a cat that loves people as much as she does. And I think Kimberly can attest, she absolutely loves people. She loves Kimberly, and unfortunately, Kimberly is a little allergic. So, and she knows, I don't know if the cat knows that or not. They don't really care. But, you know, as soon as you come in, they come and plop themselves in your lap. And I know sometimes when I have a bad day or I'm just feeling alone, she comes, and the moment that I get in the house, she's right there letting me know she's there. She curls up in your lap. She does her little kneading thing. She starts purring. Sounds like a motorboat, you know. And, you know, or when you sleep, she's got to touch you. To me, these are lessons in unconditional love. You know, I wish people could learn that as much as animals do. And growing up in Ramona a little bit, as Millie did, it was we had 3 acres, and it was small back then. And we had animals. We had chickens and ducks and goats and horses and all kinds of things. And occasionally we had a dog that was a Weiner-Eimer, and she seemed to like to go out and have puppies. And so my dad wasn't a big one in the time of having them neutered or spayed. But after a couple litters, he decided it was probably a good idea. But observing her and also cats having their litter, it was just amazing. And to me, it was a miracle watching them being born. But you know what? They were perfect mothers. They knew exactly what to do. Who told them? I didn't. It was instinct. God, you know, I think God's better with the animals, or they're more in tune than we are, because they just knew what to do. They knew when one was sick or wasn't sick. They took perfect care of them. So I was always thinking, well, isn't that exactly a divine plan of God that we've learned? Everything's planned if we just follow it. It's simple. One of the biggest things that I know a lot of people have with love is learning to love themselves. And I know Lori spoke about this on Sunday about self-love. That's something I've struggled with, and I think several other people I know do too. It's a hard one. You know, we're born of the pure spirit. How can we not love ourselves? We're all part of God. And God teaches us that. But somehow we get caught up in the world, and the world teaches you you're not good enough. For me, it was always I wasn't tall enough. I was too thin. I didn't have enough money. There were times I did have a lot of money. But none of that plays into the love that you are. And then when you learn who you are every day, sometimes it takes practice and learning that I'm okay. Louise Hay is always good at this, in the infinity of life where I am. Everything is whole, perfect, and complete, and I love myself just the way I am. Little things like that. Kimberly's class taught us on mirror work. You know, it's hard. Look in the mirror. Look in your eyes. Has anyone done that?
Yeah.
You know, look in your eyes. Most people will look, but they're not looking in the eyes. But you have to look at yourself, and you have to say, I'm worthy. I love you. It's hard. It's really hard. I suggest if anybody hasn't tried that, try it. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing example that you learn and you start learning. My other one was I was one that I always cared about what other people thought. That's a biggie too. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It's what you think. But I worry too much about what other people thought. Terry Kowitiker wrote a book years ago called What You Think of Me Is None of My Business.
Yeah.
And that's a great book. Doesn't matter. You know, my mother always used to say, they're not paying your bills. Who cares what they think? You know, but you know, it is true. But, you know, over the time, we notice in love, how many times has love been used? How many songs have been written about it? Not only country western, but every song, movies. Gosh, country western has made fortune in songs. It's all about broken love, divorce, coming home a drink, and all kinds of stuff. You know, left for your best friend, whatever. But what people don't know, you know, it's funny. If you play a country western song backwards, you get everything back.
Yeah.
You know, you get it all back. Nobody died. Nobody came home drinking. None of that, you know. It's kind of fun. Well, if we could do that in life, you can go backwards. We all make mistakes. We're human. But you can go back and look at what you did and ask God to guide you that you don't make the same choice. How many times do people marry somebody that was just like the last mate that they had? and two or three marriages, and they realize she doesn't need to do this anymore. But, you know, but some of the positive songs, spiritually, I think of a lot of songs. We have a lot in our books. I was trying to think at home with some of Teach Only Love, which is one of my favorite songs. I was going to suggest that tonight, but didn't. But, you know, Love Lifted Me, The Rose, which we sang. You know, Love is a Many Splendored Thing. You know, people have made millions of money on this. All about love. It's big business, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. It's interesting. But on the other side of it, there's big business when it doesn't work out. You should never stay with someone if it's not truly love. I think somewhere in the Bible it says, when God joins two people together, if he truly joined them together, it's in love. But sometimes things don't work out. You should never stay with someone if it isn't working out. You know, and abuse is a whole different story. So, you know, but a lot of people, you have to deal with you and work only with you. You can't change a mate or a partner or a boyfriend, a girlfriend. You can't, even though a lot of people are battling human experiences, which are everything from drinking, sex, drugs, you name it. It doesn't matter. We all are on the path of learning what? Love. You have to learn to love. Not only yourself, but try to love your friends to the best. Support them. You know, how many times do you think of somebody when you're having a bad day and the phone rings and it's somebody just, oh, I was just thinking of you. I wanted to give you a call today. Let you know, I was thinking of, doesn't that lift your spirit? I know it does mine. You know, and then I was talking about love our furry friends. And then I have a line here that I put, and that doesn't mean just the men with hairy chests. You know, a lot of people like all of that because a lot of people like different things, whatever. But it's your animals, your animals. Sometimes men are furrier than the animals, you know. But what do they teach us? Our animals teach us about unconditional love, giving and receiving. And I'm an incredible giver. I can give you anything. All you have to do is call me and ask. And I'm there to help you, to give you, to whatever. But it's hard. I'm learning from me. I always have closed hands, it seems like. You can't receive when your hands are closed. Or you can't receive if your arms are down. It's always nice to have a big open hand, you know, which is great. Talked about unrequited love, which is hard. You know, I don't think I'm the only one who's ever loved somebody that didn't really love them back. I can remember, and it's been 100 years ago, but I remember my first crush, and it was in fourth grade, you know, and I was so afraid to approach her. I still remember her name. We're still friends on Facebook. But I used to write little notes and put in her desk. And Ramona, being a small town, I never signed my name, which was funny, but they knew. So I remember being out. We all went to the same church and everything. And her dad was talking to my mother at the store. And she said, well, I think it's funny how your son has a crush on my daughter. Well, I was mortified that somebody knew. But I always remember that. It was my first crush. Isn't that funny? But it's interesting. But we learn those. And I don't know if anybody else remembers some of their first people, you know, and sometimes when you're young, it lasts a week or two, maybe, if you're lucky, you know, and I heard one of my clients say the other day that her young daughter, in a month, was on three different people, you know, and she said, it depends on the week, she changes, she's 14, you know, she's, you know, what was important this week isn't there, but I have learned that it all starts with us, and Millie's always telling us, love yourself as you do others, you know. John 13:34 says, love one another as I have always loved you. And what's the golden rule? Do unto others as they want them to do unto you. It's not hard. How come this world got complicated? I love your line. It's not God's laws that are difficult. It's man's laws. You know, we get in there and kind of screw things up a little bit. Well, anyway, that leads into, so today's Valentine's Day, which is great. Thank you all for being here. But do you know where it started, where it came from? I knew a little bit, but I didn't really know a whole lot. Well, the history of Valentine's Day goes back. It was a patron saint, and it was always shrouded in kind of a mystery. It goes back with, actually, the Romans around the 3rd century. And there were a couple saints that were kind of involved in it, but they weren't saints at the time. And February, it became where it was the month celebrated of romance, and it was St. Valentine's Day as we know it today. But it contains vestiges of both Christian and ancient Roman tradition. Did you know that over 150 million Valentine cards usually are sent out? It's one of the biggest holidays after Christmas, and then it's Mother's Day. So again, people are making money on this. But there were three different saints named Valentine and Valentinus, and they were all martyrs. And one legend contends that Valentine was a priest who served during the 3rd century in Rome when the Emperor Claudius II decided that single men made better soldiers than those with wives and families. Not quite sure on that, but I guess it's because they didn't have to be home for dinner, or they didn't have to be somewhere, you know, who knows. So what he did is he outlawed marriage for young men. And Valentine, realizing the injustice of the decree that was happening right now, he started performing marriages. And so Claudius wasn't real happy about any of that. So I discovered that he was ordered and he was put to death. I thought that was interesting. But the mystery of the saint was interesting. Though there was no pinpointed exact time when the holiday started, they realized it was around somewhere February 13th to the 15th. And it was celebrated as the feast, and I'm going to say this wrong, Lupercalia. And it's where the men sacrificed at that time. They were into sacrificial things. They did a goat and a dog. And then they whipped women with the hides of the skins that they had slain. This was a tradition, and it was to be done for fertility. Aren't you glad we're not in the 3rd century? I mean, what's interesting? Summer depends what you're into and what bar you go to. But anyway, they decided that this was kind of no more, that was a lot of drinking going on too. So the Roman romantics, they were drunk and they were naked. And so a historian said, you know, this, that it's interesting too, because the single women lined up for this. It's interesting what you learn in history, to be hit. And they believed this would make them fertile so that they could have children. But it also included a lottery where all the single women put their like name in a thing, and so they would pull it, and you were matched up, and sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't work. It just depended. But it went on for 3 or 4 days, and some people stayed together and some didn't. I guess you'd call that kind of like arranged marriages, I guess. I'm not really sure. But anyway, so as a modern day love thing. But anyway, both of these men were executed. And so on February 14th, the Catholic Church decided to call it the celebration of St. Valentine's Day. So we have the Catholic Church for giving us this day. I was surprised at the history. I don't know who knew that. I didn't. I thought it was interesting. So it was kind of fun learning all of this kind of stuff. So it is interesting when you... I don't remember reading any of that in the Bible, but I don't know that it's true. But, you know, but the church is known, Catholic Church was known to change a lot of different things, you know, because they used to have things where believing as we believe was in there, but it was taken out during the 12th century. A lot of things were changed. But anyway, I was kind of impressed learning something, and I did a little research, and I wish I had more time to share. It was a lot of different things. But I want to thank everybody for coming, and if you didn't get a Valentine from somebody tonight, you can get one from me, and you can be my Valentine. But thank you for this time. And we'll be taking names out in the hallway. So. Great.
Oh, I got it.